ears and our minds, our hearts, but especially our spirits, to hear what can only be heard in the Spirit. Just bring your word to life. Okay, I thought I marked every page, and I didn't. See, I cheat. I put these little 1, 2, 3 tabs in the top so I can get there quick. 2 Chronicles. I don't know why I started reading in 2 Chronicles this morning, but, you know, sometimes I wonder why I do that, and then I try to jump back in the New Testament. But there's lots of good things for our example in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 29. Just 2 verses stood out to me when I started reading. You know, it's really hard when you're called to teach or to preach, because if it's not your turn to talk, it's almost like God can't talk to you, because you want to teach everything you hear, you know? So if he doesn't speak to you at all, you go, oh, it must be Harvey's turn this week. If he speaks to you, you automatically go, oh, I want to share this, you know? So I always tell God, it's okay if you give me something just for me, and I'll try to keep it to myself, you know? So at first I started out this morning, I thought maybe that was the case. So 2 Chronicles 29:36, it did not end up the case, obviously, because here I am. He kept Harvey out this morning by giving him a severe headache until the very last minute and then healed it. So Harvey couldn't get anything, see? Takes a lot to keep a good man down. Verse 36, and Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. God has had us in preparation for years. Your whole life, in fact, is preparation. And from the day you met Jesus, more fine-tuned preparation. When the thing you're prepared for happens, it's suddenly. It's suddenly. And you need to be ready when it suddenly happens. And they thanked God that the people had been prepared, because when it happened suddenly. There was no time to go home and say, what do I do? You need to be ready when it happens. And 2 Chronicles 31:21, and in every work that he had began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. All of your heart, everything God calls you to do, do it with all your heart and prosper. We want to prosper in that thing God is preparing us for. How are we going to be ready? And then the Lord took me to Proverbs 4. I love Proverbs. For years after I got saved, I read the proverb corresponding to the day of the month. Today is the 4th, and I read Proverbs 4 today. This month I'm doing that again. I did it for years and years and years, and the wisdom that you will gain by reading Proverbs is tremendous. And lately I've said, you know, I keep asking God for wisdom. I'm going to go back to the wisdom book and start reading that every day again, because I know I need more wisdom for whatever God is doing right now in my life. But I saw some things not new. This is not new. I've read Proverbs 4 hundreds of times. I understand the concept and the knowledge and wisdom in Proverbs 4. It is not new today, but it is alive today. Today it's alive because it's what God is speaking to us this morning. That puts life in it. That breathes the life of God into this message. The good old message with a brand new breath. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend, pay attention to know the understanding. For I'm giving you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and he said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Today's message, we're going to finish this in a minute, is 3-part. Seek wisdom, get understanding, and follow instructions. I'm out of order. Seek wisdom. Follow instructions, and you will get understanding in that order. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. You know how quick we forget? forget the wisdom we get. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to every man freely. But let him not be double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We go to God and say, okay, there's only one way to get wisdom. I'm asking you for it. Then he gives us an idea, and we go out and quickly lose it. Was it really God? I'm not sure that it was really God. Confusion, doubt, all kinds of other thoughts battle until we say, I don't think it was God, and we lay it down. And that's why a double-minded man cannot prosper. He does not hold on to that wisdom with his faith. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Notice from this point on, wisdom is referred to as her. Wisdom has taken on the feminine gender. Why? Solomon's father is saying to him, get wisdom, seek wisdom, hold her. Listen to how he begins to speak of wisdom as a female, and consider that as we read these verses. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her and keep her. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you do embrace her. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to you. You hear how he's talking about wisdom like it's a woman? Why? I asked God this morning, why? Why do you suddenly, if wisdom is what we get from Father God, why are you speaking of wisdom like a woman if it's something from a man? There's an analogy here of how men feel toward their wife. Toward your wife, a natural feeling in a man is to protect her, to defend her, to cover her, to guard her, to take care of her, to keep her safe from all harm and from all enemies. And God is saying, that's what you must do with wisdom when I give it to you. You have to treat it like a beautiful bride who needs protection, defending, covering. From what? Her enemies. We're going to talk about what her enemies are. Her enemies are confusion. What steals wisdom from you? It's like enemies want to capture this wisdom God gives you. Take it like kidnapping it and steal it out of your life. And the things that can do that are fear. Fear of men. Fear of error. What if I'm wrong? What if it wasn't God? Doubt. Confusion. Attitudes. I just don't want to do it. You know, we come to church and somebody says, we really need somebody with a heart to teach the children. And people raise their hand and go, I'll take the children. 2 weeks later, they're going, why did I do that? I don't want to take the children. I don't think I call me. I think it was emotion that day. Probably was. And your emotions have nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with it. See, if you seek wisdom from God, laying down everything, God, whatever you want for me, whatever your answer is, I will do it. And then your faith takes hold of that answer from God. Hold on to it. Don't forsake it. Don't let it go. Protect it from doubt and fear and confusion. Protect it from your own heart, from your own emotions that tell you, I don't want to do this. Protect that wisdom. Hold on to it. And it will give you a crown. It will give to your head the ornament of grace. The definition of grace is the desire and the ability to do what God tells you to do. It will fix your want to if you just do it. It will fix it because of this. Once you become strong in knowing that God made you a promise, if you ask me for wisdom, I will give you wisdom, guaranteed, to all men freely, not even only to the Christians. God said anyone who asks him for wisdom, he will give it to them. Now, if you grab that thought God gives you and ask him to include instructions, give me the instructions that go with this wisdom. You know, the word is full of knowledge. Knowledge is not wisdom. Let's read on a little further. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. You can teach someone the way of wisdom. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. that I have led you in right paths. I've led you in the right path, but I can't walk it for you. I can't walk it for you. I can teach you how to get wisdom. I can teach you how to seek instruction, but I can't give you wisdom. It's a gift from God. I can give you knowledge. I can open the Word of God and teach you knowledge, but that is not wisdom. Wisdom is how to use knowledge. Wisdom is how to apply knowledge. One time, you may read the Word and it says, spare not the rod. If you spare the rod, you hate your son. And that the rod, when you chastise your son with the rod, you'll deliver his soul from hell. That is knowledge. How do you apply it? Do you beat your child every time they do something wrong? Do you just get yourself a rod and say, I'm going to beat you into heaven? No. There has to be the wisdom from God. Your child does something wrong. You can have two children committing the same crime, and the punishment might not be the same. You have to go to God for wisdom. God, you said that I should use a rod and beat them, right? Your word says that. But your word also says to forgive and be merciful. Which one applies this time? Which one will correct my son effectively? Which one this time? And God will give you wisdom. He will give you the thought. One son might need the rod. The other son might need mercy. Because there's a whole different thing going on in their heart and mind. Wisdom. How to use and apply knowledge. Which person? Which time? How? What's the process? Prophetic people, God tells you something about someone. That woman back there is in adultery right now, living in adultery. Do we take her out and burn her? Do we just go and tell her, God loves you anyway? I don't know. There was somebody living in adultery, and God told me to warn her. If you do not repent, you will die. She didn't repent, and she died shortly thereafter. There was another woman in adultery, and God told me to go put money in her hand and tell her how much Jesus loves her and knew that she was in need. The goodness of God leads to repentance too. Some saved by fear, some saved by love. We don't know when to apply fear or love. Wisdom is a right now, present, at the moment gift from God. Nobody can give it to you. No one can give you wisdom but God when you ask. So I can teach you. I can lead you into the path, but I cannot walk your path. You have to walk it. And when you do, verse 12, when you go, your steps shall not be straightened. They shall not be hindered. Your steps won't be hindered if you're walking in wisdom's path. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take fast hold. Take a firm grip on the instructions. And let her not go. Keep her, for she is your life. The instructions are your life. You see, wisdom comes with a set of instructions. If you buy a new bicycle or new entertainment center, it comes with instructions how to put it together. If you crumple them and throw them away and say, I can figure it out, it's probably not going to go together so well. Most of us need those instructions to put things together. When you ask God for wisdom, He not only tells you what to do, He tells you how to do it. And that is where your faith will step in. Once you know that you know that you know God has told you to do this, and He has told you how to do it, how to walk in it, then faith grips onto that and can hold with a sure, firm grip. You can't talk me out of this. I know this is what God wants. That's faith. You know, faith is not a feeling you work up. Faith is simply believing what God tells you to do. Simply choosing to believe what God tells you to do. That's faith. Simply believing what God said. We're going to go to faith in a little bit. And maybe we'll go there now. Keep your marker in Proverbs 4, but take a look at, by the way, we're not going here, but I'm going to tell you where it is. So you can check it. Any man who asks God for wisdom is James 1, 5. And if you read through 8, it will tell you. If you're double-minded, you'll lose that wisdom. Slip right out of you. You'll let go of it. So you might want to write that down. Faith is not something that we work up. James 2:17. starting at verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, he is saying, I have gotten a word from God. I have gotten instruction from God. Now by faith, I am walking that out. That is the proof of my faith. I'm proving that I believed what God said to me by doing it, by obeying it. That is the proof of my faith. And without the obedience to the instruction, your faith is dead. Your faith is dead. You have not taken a step to prove you believed him. It goes on about Abraham offering, showing his works by his faith. He took his son up to kill him, and he knew that God had said, I'm going to bless you through this son. And yet when he went up, he was fully ready to kill him, saying, God was going to raise him from the dead, I guess. And then God stopped him from doing it. He was just testing his obedience. He didn't just ask him if he believed. He made him walk it out. In verse 26, for the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. When you ask for wisdom, you have to believe what God tells you. You have to believe it and act on it. Let's go back to Proverbs 4. Verse 14. Now, he said, I'm going to lead you. God says, I'm going to lead you in the way of the path that I want you to go down. I'm going to lead you to the path. Now, picture God himself has led you to the path, and he's walking on that path. You cannot experience the wisdom, get the understanding, until you walk the path. You have to enter that path, and you have to walk it. Once you start to walk it, you're going to come under attack. As soon as you make a decision, this is what God said to me, I'm sure of it, I'm going to hold it, I have to write the instructions down. I have lists of instructions I carry in the front of my Bible to remember what God told me, because as soon as I start trying to do it, the attacks start. Every attack starts. What makes you think God called you to do that? Somebody else will come and say, what makes you think that you can go in the ministry when you're divorced? What makes you think they will attack you personally? They will attack your energy, your health, your thoughts. You will be so full of attack, and the warnings begin when you start on that path. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. When something tempts you, don't even look at it. Don't think about it. You see, that's where faith takes that grip. I know God told me to do this. That's the firm grip. You've got to know. And you've got to know what it is he told you to do and hold it. When doubts come, don't argue with them. Don't even start the argument. When fear comes, don't even consider it. Like Harvey always says, not an option. Not an option. Perfect love casts out fear. I'm walking in perfect love because I'm on the path he set my feet on. I'm not going to consider a doubt. I'm not going to consider self-examination. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how incapable you are of the job. If God sent you to do it, just go do it. We had a young man who ministered from the time he was 16 down in the streets of Detroit. He went down there to minister to druggies and prostitutes and kids who had been sold when they were tiny children for the moms to get some drug money. So they grew up hooked on drugs and in prostitution from childhood up. These were some really hopeless people. And people would come to this young man and attack him. They'd say, but I know you. I know what you've done. I know your history. What qualifies you? And he said, you know what? I could sit here and go through self-examination of all my sin, but so what? Forget it all. I'm just going to do what God told me to do. I'm just going to go do it because he told me to do it. And he went down there. Probably he was 26, 28, maybe near 30. Still down there doing it. Very little success. If you don't see success when you're walking on the path of your instruction, It doesn't make any difference. It's not your excuse to quit. Noah had zero converts. Noah had no one that believed him about the flood, and he preached it 120 years without any converts. But still he preached it, and still he built the boat. 120 years. He could look at himself and say, God, I'm such a failure. You sent me to warn the people, and none of them listened. I must be a horrible preacher. No, they're horrible listeners. Jeremiah preached repentance. They didn't repent. They threw him in a dungeon. He could have said, I must have blown it because it didn't work. The working isn't your problem. The working is God's problem. The doing is your problem. Only the doing is your problem. Believe me, when you stand up to do something for God, you will come under attack. And the devil knows your weakness, and that's where he's going to kick you. When I was growing up, I used to be jealous of people that had all these outgoing, funny, bubbly personalities, and I was very, very straight, very non-expressional. And, you know, I'd have people say to me, you can't talk for God, you're boring. I get bored when you're preaching, I fall asleep. Oh, well, God can work in your spirit while you're asleep. I've seen him do it before. I don't care if you're bored with me. I had others tell me, you know, when you're talking, I don't get anything out of it. But later in the week, it keeps coming back to me and nagging me. It's like a delayed effect or something, you know. Good, I'll take that. You know, that's something to take. But it's not my problem if you like me. It's not my problem if I'm entertaining. It's not my problem if you get anything out of it. My problem is, God said, this is what I want you to say this morning. Go do it. That's my only problem. It's not a problem. That's my only issue, is to obey what he sent me to do. Whether anybody likes it or anybody likes me, it doesn't matter. It's nice if you get some fringe benefits. It's nice, but it doesn't matter. And it's not a good excuse to quit. It's not a good reason to quit. He says avoid it. Pass by it. Turn from it. You know why? And he's talking about your enemies now. For they do not sleep, except they have done some mischief. And then their sleep is taken away, unless they can cause someone to fall. The whole purpose of the demons is mischievous. They don't even sleep. They lay awake at night figuring out how to make you fall next time. But the righteous man falls 7 times and gets up again. God forgives us, and we get back up and get back on that path. They eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more into a perfect day. I just visualize that path, and I think of what Harvey said years ago. Holy Spirit is like a flashlight. He's like a flashlight. He doesn't light up the whole forest for you. He walks in front of you with that flashlight shining just this far where you can see where to head next. And just that way to know when to turn. Barely enough light to know where to take the next step. Just enough light for the next step. If you stop and you turn your eyes up from that flashlight, have you ever done that? If you ever got deep in the woods when it's really dark, and you stop following the flashlight and you look up and you can't see anything, and panic can hit you, right? You're going, oh my gosh, it's so dark. If I were to get lost out there, what if I'm not on the right path? What if I take a wrong turn? What if my batteries burn out? What if my batteries burn out? My car broke down when I was probably 18 years old, and I had a beat up old Rambler, and I wasn't a Christian yet, and I had taken a shortcut through the very road where the old monastery was. All the rumors about all the kids that had been murdered out there or captured by these monks, drunken monks that lived in this monastery, and they never came back out. Nobody ever gets out of that monastery alive. I mean, this was the spook road. My old Rambler broke down on that road about 11, 12 o'clock at night. It was too far to walk anywhere but that old monastery. So I could either sleep in that car, 18 years old, on Blood Road, all by myself, and that's why they made the jokes. The name of the road was Blood Road. And I'm like, oh, God, I can't stay in this car all night long in this dark. I can't even see my hand in front of my face. I am so scared. But I knew where the monastery was because as I was driving down that road, getting near it, I'm thinking, I'm going to speed past that monastery. Nobody could catch me. Instead of speeding, boom, car died. Lights went out. Nothing. I had no option, sleep in the dark car or go up to the monastery. That is scary. By the way, the story ends, I did go to the monastery, and the very nice old monks called and got me some help. But while I'm sitting in there, they're making the phone call, I'm watching them tow my car up to the monastery, and I'm going, that's it. I've just disappeared forever. No one will ever find me now. The car's even gone. They called, the police came, and I got help. But I know the feeling of being in the woods with no flashlight. It is terrifying. But if God, if the Holy Spirit has set you on a path, that light shines right in front of you. Just don't look up into the darkness ahead and say, how will I ever do this? I can never do this. This is too overwhelming. This is too hard. I don't see any success. If you start looking ahead, you'll see darkness. If you look to the side, you'll see darkness. But if you take the step, follow the instruction, one step at a time, the light that you do have, walk in it. Just walk in it, and you'll be safe. Wisdom is your life. To turn away from wisdom means your death. Spiritually, it means your death. All of a sudden, no connection to God. What happened? You walked out of the light. You didn't follow your instructions. We seek wisdom. If any man asks God for wisdom, he'll give it to him. Believe it when he gives it to you, and then ask for the instructions. Follow the instructions. And the third step is so easy because you don't have to do anything. If you follow the instructions, bonus, you will eventually get the understanding. Then you will understand it. He gives you that. That's the free gift at the end. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They don't even know at what they stumble. They don't even know what they're stumbling over. Confusion just hits me in that thought. Once you stop obeying the instruction God gave you and you step out of the light, I think demons of confusion just jump in your head immediately and it all starts. Oh, what should I do? Why did I do that? But what about this? But what about that? All the confusion just starts playing ping pong with your thoughts because you're out of the light. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. If you're in confusion, you're out of the light. Rebuke it. It's a spirit. Did you see what they do? Verse 16, they don't sleep, these evil spirits, until they've done their mischief. Their sleep's taken away unless they can cause somebody to fall. You know, I never thought about that verse till right this minute. How is their sleep taken away unless they can cause someone to fall? Well, think about it. Their leader is the devil, right? The devil himself. He must send them on missions to make people fall. Maybe if they come back and say, oh, Lucifer, I caused a preacher to fall into adultery. Maybe he says, take a little nap. Well done. But if they come back and say, failure, nobody fell. You don't sleep. Get out there and make someone fall. They don't even get a rest unless they succeed in making someone fall. It is their total mission to make people fall. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. You can try to keep it in your heart, but your emotions can mess you up. You better have it in front of your eyes. When you go to ask God wisdom, write what he gives you on paper. Ask him, how do I do that, God? How exactly do you want me to do that? And write it down. Date it, write it, and walk that path until God himself says, mission accomplished, done. I was called into the deaf work. I'm not in the deaf work now. I was called to go down to assembly for 8 months and teach inner healing. I'm not down there now. But I could still show you in the office my instruction sheet when I was sent. Exactly what he told me to do. And believe me, after the first couple of months of booming success, people are getting healed, everything's great, then the numbers started to diminish. And I'm saying, I don't know, maybe I'm done, maybe I should quit, maybe I shouldn't go. It doesn't seem to be working anymore. I don't really feel like it tonight. I don't really have anything new to say tonight. I don't want to do this. Well, I can't obey my emotions. I'm going to go. I get down there, boring, nothing happened. Oh, maybe it's time to quit. Maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. As long as you have a maybe, you're not done. Maybe is confusion. Right. You're not done. You do what he said to do until you know that you know God himself has shown up and said, now it's time to quit. Amen. This is done. And you can say, I don't know how I know, but I know. This is our last meeting, people. We're done. You'll know when you know. If you're arguing with it, you're not done.
Right.
You might have quit, but you weren't done. Maybe you're out there running around that dark road with no light. Just tell God, I need some new batteries. My light went out. Get back on the path. Get back in the light. And if you're so confused you're thinking you don't even know what your path is anymore, come back to step one. If any man ask God wisdom, he will give it to him freely. God, I am now willing. I am now willing. I am now willing. Where's our verse? Willing, willing. Wrote that down, didn't I?
How's it go?
If any man will do his will.
John 7:17.
I pulled that out, but I never went there. Go to John 7:17. Now your headache's gone. I have a hard time keeping you in your seat. Jesus said unto them in verse 16, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Once you can say, I'm here because he sent me, you got something to hang on to.
Right.
If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.
Right.
He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks God's glory that sent him, the same is true. There is no unrighteousness in him. See, when you know that you know that you know what God sent you to do, you will have faith. That's faith. I know God told me to do this. And I've asked him, how? How do you want me to do it? I wrote down everything he told me. Now I'm going to do it because I know that God said it. God has given me instructions, and I'm taking a faith hold on those instructions, for they are my life. And I will not be swayed until
right.
God himself says,
exactly.
Now it's done.
Right.
We're done. And you try to talk him into that, but all you'll get is confusion.
That's right.
God, I think we ought to be done. Confusion. When he says it, you just know. Peace of God. The peace of God.
Yeah.
And you'll know. And you know what? That meeting could be booming and growing and fantastic. And God says, now it's time to quit. What? Now it's going great. Sure it is. Now give it over to someone else and walk away.
Yep.
We don't know. Can't judge the circumstances. You can't judge your heart, what you want to do and don't want to do. Just don't be quick to volunteer. Go home and seek some wisdom first.
Right.
And then when you step up to the plate, you better know it's your turn to bat.
Yep.
And you'll hit the ball. I like the flashlight. I just really love walking in the light. Any questions? Any comments? We're going to Janiah's for dinner today. If you brought a dish, great. And if you didn't, that's okay. We'll feed you anyway. So we're going out. It's indoor. We'll just caravan out there so you can find it. Anybody have a question, a comment? Not you, Sam. You're not going to get up and preach, right? No, stay in your seat.
Only you
get your headache back.
I want to say something about John 7:17.
Only?
Always.
One word.
Yeah. It'll only be like less than 60 seconds, 30 seconds.
Okay, kids, you hear that? You hear that? If he goes beyond 2 minutes, you can tackle him.
Okay. No, here we go. I just say this.
Oh, you're not getting up? You don't get tackled?
John 7:17. I really felt like this morning when she was talking about that you really ought to memorize that verse, John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know. We always want to understand, and God wants us to obey, then we'll understand. There is no substitute for experience. When you experience something, then you can understand it. Before then, it's all just theory. When you obey, you step out by faith and do what God says, then you're going to understand. If any man will do his will, then he shall know.
Yay.